Welcome to Luthiers and Legacy Show, a podcast created especially for fine violin makers and luthiers, as well as musicians passionate about making positive change in the industry of music. Hi, my name is Dmitry Badyarov, former professional musician, turned award-winning speaker, business coach and mentor, violin designer, passionate about creating instruments for world-class musicians and dedicating my life to helping open-minded instrument makers to keep the ancient master's acoustic concepts alive. Today, it is the launch day of Luthiers and Legacy podcast, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to invite you to the conversations with experts. To make it a real celebration, you are getting the chance to win 7 days of live online training known as the Old Master's Tones Technique for free. You will learn the Ancient Master's acoustic concept so you can create even better instruments for your musicians. Other students traveled thousands of kilometers and paid over 3,000 euros to learn this, but you are getting a chance to get this for free because it is a celebration day. All you have to do to win your free ticket is subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, take a screenshot of your review and post it on social, tagging myself in the review. That's how I will be able to find you. Regardless whether you have been in the profession for decades or you're just starting out, it's time for you to shake things up and start making even bigger impact. So without further ado, let's do it. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, dear friends. Welcome to Luthiers and Legacy podcast. In today's episode, our guest is a violin maker from Spain, Oleg Ivanishuk of Oleg Ivanishuk Violins. Oleg has created a very successful instrument making workshop in a remarkably short time, and which is why I decided to invite Oleg. Oleg was also an assistant at Badyarov Violins. So I thought that it will be very interesting to pick from Oleg's brain and just talk about some strategies that he is applying to get orders from musicians from all around the world. And not only that, Oleg is also now getting students to learn violin making from him, also traveling to his workshop in Spain, from Switzerland, from the United States. He has been featured on national news 3 times. Please correct me, Oleg, if I'm wrong. So it was Victoria Gasteiz, Victoria Today, and which was the third paper? I forgot. Cultura.
El Correo.
Cultura. El Correo. El Correo. Well, El Correo is a major paper, of course. Yeah, so Oleg is very, very successful and very inspirational instrument maker, also a musician with a background in jazz music, in baroque music. So he's a very multi-talented person and overall an awesome chap. So it's really an honor having you, Oleg, with us. So a very warm welcome.
Thank you very much for such a nice presentation.
Oleg, let's get to the core of things. Something that will be very important for instrument makers and also for musicians. What are the things that you were doing in the beginning of your career when things were not working as well as they are working now? And what you have changed? What have you started doing that brings these results?
Well, when I begin discover the world of violin making, first, I tried to contact the violin making schools, of course, but I discovered that I couldn't attend a whole program because I was busy with other things. I was working at that time full-time as a musician. And so I started to learn violin making by myself using books and internet information. There's plenty of interesting information. And suddenly I realized that I arrived to one point that I was stuck. Just I learned how to build instruments, but my instruments was like very mediocre, normal, nothing special. And as a musician, I realized that I cannot pretend to be a successful violin maker producing this kind of this quality of instruments. So my next step was to find someone who can seriously teach me all these tricks, secrets. Mm-hmm. And I needed to get in different level, to get more knowledge, and also I felt like I have to be successful violin maker. I need to fully commit to it, you know, not just part time. So it was like a crossroad. In that moment, I decided, okay, now I will dedicate most of my time doing that job, and not only music. So that was the beginning of different.
Yeah. Alex, there is some rattling sound. Probably your microphone is rubbing against your clothes.
I'm sorry. I will try to.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah. Tell me about the time when you were on that fork on the road where you had to make a decision whether you continue being a musician or you go towards instrument making. Was it a conflict of some kind in your life when you really didn't know what to choose? And how did you feel? What happened exactly?
It was one of the most difficult periods of my time. At that moment, I have a quite deep personal crisis. It was something like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it happened. And suddenly, I realized that music, but the way I work in the music industry, it's not filling me up with, you know, all these emotions I needed to be happy, you know. The music I perform, I had to perform. I worked for several companies, and I always had to play things, not always, but most of the time, I'm never interesting about, you know. And I became not like a creative person in music. I became like functional, and that feeling turned me, make me really unhappy. So I decided to change something and to be more independent. As a double bass player, I always had belonged to the group of people, to the band, to the orchestras. So my professional life was very dependent of this kind of formation. And there's a crisis, a famous crisis in 2008. We lose a lot of job, in fact. So I start to think what I can do. How can I express myself? How can I build something independent? And as I had some experience as an instrument maker, I built my first instrument in 2003. It was my dream from the past. I knew that one day I would love to have a workshop and start to build instruments. And I decided in that moment that now it's the right moment just to start something different, to start your own way, your own career with an independent career. And
Very interesting. Was it like a leap of faith for you? How did you feel about this? Did you feel like sorts of risk, taking a risk because you didn't know that it will work for sure? Or were you 100% sure that, yes, you leave your job, your stable job as a musician, you dive into instrument making, and there you go, you become 100% successful? How did you feel about this?
Of course, you cannot feel 100%. You will achieve something, you know. But yeah. I always had this feeling, if you want to do something, if you want to dedicate to something, you need really to be interesting about it. You have to love this part. That's why I learned many instruments, how to play many instruments, many kind of different kind of music. And because not of the conjecture, you have to play this because it's very popular now. No, because I just had a Well, it was very interesting, and the instrument making is the same. So it's work. Like when you make instruments, you just forget about anything. You are just into it. It's so concentrate, and it's amazing to be, you know, to have this, to live this moment, no?
Mm.
And if you change something for something, it should be, you know, music. I never stopped to play music. Even if I'm not performing in the stage, I have my instruments at home, I play. But the instrument making, it's different. It's just me in front of a piece of wood and then the ideas. And I really appreciate this moment. I don't need anything else.
Now you are making instruments, and apparently you are doing something very different from lots of instrument makers, because the truth is there are lots of instrument makers who have been in the career for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and are not getting orders from all around the world or not getting recognized in the national press. There's something definitely you are doing very differently. So what is it? How do you operate?
Well, to get known, recognized by international clients and newspapers, or even local, it's a work of marketing, of course, big part, which is I'm not very good on it, but I'm doing what I can.
Hmm.
I have to improve this part of my business. Of course, it's very, very important. Otherwise, whatever instrument you make, if nobody knows where you even exist, how you can sell it. So sure. The part, a very important part of my business is to let people know you are here, you are working. Your idea about instrument making,
mm-hmm,
your
mm-hmm.
approach, your background, your personal taste, and you have to inform audience, and you have to teach in some way audience. Mm.
And what is your process about doing that?
No, mostly I use social media.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my personal contacts, which I have been playing music over 25 years. So I have a lot of personal contacts in the world of the music. And forever, you know, that's, in fact, this violin making, the rise, dispersed, I would say it in English, a lot of interest from people. You know, many people are very curious about, and they have a real interest. Many people ask questions, and I'm really happy to serve that people, to musicians, to if I can explain or help them to understand better how this process, how instruments works, what kind of instrument they need to achieve a certain, you know, result.
Mm.
And yeah. That's how it works, more or less.
Very interesting. So what is your process about serving musicians? How does that work? How do you practically implement this?
It depends each particular case.
Mm.
Sometimes I have instruments already built in my workshop, so musicians can come and try, but most of the time I make instruments upon the request when people order instrument. And when the musicians order instrument, it's very important to listen to them and knows already what exactly they're looking for, mm. what kind of sound, what kind of size, and many characteristics, the aesthetical issues, and they already can give you some dimensions, particular dimensions they feel comfortable mm. with. And having all this information, you start to develop ideas, and you start to create, first of all, the acoustical design of the instruments. Mm-hmm. And this is the, to me, is, for me, is one of the most exciting parts of my work. Mm-hmm. So creating new instruments, completely new. I never use the posters or something like this, trying to make copies. And yes, that's more or less the process.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And then, of course, during this process, I always in contact with the person, with the musician. Mm-hmm. We can correct some things. We also can discuss about certain issues. You know?
Yeah, of course. And this acoustical concept, the acoustical design of an instrument, is something that we've been working together with, because I've been teaching you alongside with some other instrument makers, how to implement this, how to draw instruments acoustically using the ancient master's thought process. And yeah, you have become a very confident and very well-informed violin designer. So, but having said that, still, I imagine that musicians entering your workshop physically through the door or through a virtual door, through the internet, through the social media, they might still reach out and be interested and ask all these interesting questions about your instruments. But then at the end, how do you make it happen, actually? How do you land an order from a musician who have never met you? Like, I know that you are getting customers from all the way from Taiwan to Singapore or and United States and on and on. So majority of these musicians never met you in person. They probably have never seen your instruments. And majority of musicians want to touch the instrument first, think about this, if that's the right one for them, and only then make the buying decision. However, you are actually landing orders from all around the world. So how do you... Yeah, how do you make it happen?
Very good question. It's a personal contact, of course. Before they order, they had to speak about a lot of things. You have to show the person, explain to the musician what you are exactly doing, and you have to convince them, and they have to trust you. That's the trust is the most important things. If they trust you, they will order things. And then, of course, I give the guarantees. If they don't like instruments, they always will get his money back. Mm-hmm. So with these guarantees and with knowledge, I'm transmitting to them, and I educated them as well. In certain way, normally we have successful collaboration. But sometimes, fantastic. Of course, sometimes it doesn't work. It depends on the person, of course.
Yeah.
Some musicians will never buy anything because they want to try first. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no way. But in this case, I have some instruments at my workshop.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you have something at your workshop available for a trial. Yeah, something like that. Okay.
I have always few instruments just to pull this kind of.
Yeah. Can you speak about your view of instrument making as a whole? So what do you think instrument making is? What majority of instrument makers are doing, and how your instruments are different, and why? Well, it's a very broad question, of course, but. Let's try to speak about this.
Well, this, in general, the industry of violin making, this instrument making, is it's a bit had a uniform approach.
Uniform.
You know? Yes, it's begin from the schools. When you go to the schools, they teach you how to build instruments. And first of all, they just give you some posters. You trace the poster, start to build instruments. And they start with this. Probably some schools teach very complex system about designing system, mm-hmm. using all this geometrical, mm-hmm. very complicated designing, trying to explain circle, semicircle, how Stradivarius did that, how did this. and with the golden division and the page number 2 or 3, you get lost. And finally, people realize that the easiest way just to take a poster, trace it, and because nobody wants to lose the time for learning this. But in fact, that this system I'm using, I have learned from you, it's very easy and very effective, and it allows you just to build violins, or violas, or any kind of musical instruments using harmonic proportions. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. even you, to design the instrument, you don't need anything. Even just scale, you can just measure with something different. You don't need any millimeters, no inches. You need to listen to the music. And that's,
yeah, of course, because the harmonical divisions are essentially according to Vitruvius, to the definition given by ancient Roman architect, harmonical divisions are divisions of a physical body resulting in musical intervals, and therefore you just translate these divisions into notes, sounds, and essentially can use almost like a melodies, harmonies to design a guitar instrument. Yeah, it's like brings back in my memory the words by Leonardo da Vinci. Coming back to what you said about uniformity, 100% agree with that. Where Leonardo da Vinci said something along this line about the art of painting. So he said, the art of painting declines and perishes when artists have no other source of inspiration but the art already created. And in some way, I feel that very much applies to instrument making today. So if instrument makers have no other source of inspiration but instruments already created, then we can speak about potentially the art of instrument making declining and perishing.
No, you will always be inspired by these pieces of art.
Of course, it's no
problem. Yeah. It's there, and it's beautiful to have this such a beautiful.
That's 100% agree. Yeah.
Examples, but nothing wrong with this. But important just to not blindly copy this instrument. You can make some. You know, I'm often inspired about looking at the good instrument. If I have possibility to have my instrument, one of this instrument in my hand, I'm most happiest person in the world. Yeah. You know, just I've learned so much from them. But no problem with this. It's just completely okay. Even the great master from the past, if you look work of, for example, Presenda works. You know, he was very influenced by the Stradivarius, but it's completely different violin, completely different sound, absolutely outstanding instruments.
Very true. So it's brings in memory the words by Matsuo Basho, of course, not related to anything European. He's a Japanese philosopher and poet who said, "Do not seek for the steps of the wise, seek what they sought."
Yeah.
And essentially, it's like there are three directions in violin making. So one direction is to go the very modern way and using high technology and computer analysis, the CT scans, whatnot, laser, three-dimensional photography, and learn more about the ancient masters. So this is one way. And it requires very expensive equipment. It requires personnel capable of operating that expensive equipment. So people with PhD in science. And then there is our way, the other way. The other way is going 180 degrees, opposite direction, and dig into the centuries of culture and find out what they were actually thinking about, no? Yes. And the third way, as you said, well, is just copying from posters and... which is what a little bit kind of contributing into the problem. Would you agree?
Yes. And I would not judge which way is better. I decide for myself that I would like to try to understand the old master's way of thinking.
So, very True, yes.
Much cheaper. You don't have to spend so much time and money for equipment and learn how to use them. No, it's a joke. But anyway, it's if you see that system of old masters works so well, why you have to... Okay, this new technology is probably, you can achieve even better result. I don't know, but I'm still enjoying to make the instruments, drawing it by hand, you know?
Yeah, of course, that's who we are to judge. So having said that, which is without any criticism, and actually it is, that's what I have had with Samuel Zygmuntowicz in another episode. We were discussing these ideas and going very modern way, but also going very ancient way, is like creating a larger picture of what is this violin making as a cultural tradition. Yeah.
Interesting.
So what is your process about creating the instrument? Is it also somehow different from what generally is done, or is it once you have designed your instrument, the rest is more or less classical?
The last things I pay a lot of attention apart, especially the way of arching instruments. It's very interesting as well how it's work with the sound, then the quality of the tone and response. But to make instrument, just a technique, nothing special. You can learn this. I teach people here in my workshop, and my students can produce good violins in terms of 6-5 weeks, you know. And there is very, very normal approach. I almost not using power tools except the bandsaw.
Yeah,
everything made by hand. But what is important, of course, you have to work with the extra quality wood to have a good result. That's the wood selections. It's one of the most important part of the of the process. Then match this wood together as well. And of course, acoustical design. It's and then normal Italian way of how they teach in school. And but for this, this is not special knowledge. There is no like special secrets. You have plenty of information in the YouTube. You can find just absolutely amazing video tutorials about the craft. It's very easy to be violin making nowadays. You know, have information from all around the world.
Goodness, yeah, that's very true. So much more knowledge accumulated in the past decade.
Even just 20 years ago, and it's happened not only with violin making, with everything. Now people can learn so much things much better than before. If you don't like this teacher, just go ahead and find another one. And now online, it's just crazy things. But I'm teaching now online, online violin making, and it works.
Yeah, so you're teaching now online, on teaching violin making online. Yeah, it's amazing. That's what we are doing these days. Yeah, I've been also teaching online all sorts of new things related to instrument making, from tonal design to the system of creating instruments that appeal to serious musicians, to pricing strategies, to sales, to marketing, all these kind of things. Yeah. It's, all of this can be done, absolutely done online, and definitely live events too. We are planning to do more live events, hopefully already this year. So, and you are very much welcome to join as well when we come up with something exciting like a couple of years ago we did in Lanzarote. So there is an idea of hosting a similar event dedicated to maybe design. And if happens, and we have a few instrument makers like Violoncello da Spalla makers, so dedicate something to Violoncello da Spalla once again. Yeah.
It would be very interesting.
Yes, it would be very interesting. I think it will be a successful project once again. I'm already thinking about which locations we can choose, like maybe the same in Lanzarote in Spain, maybe somewhere in Lisbon, maybe somewhere in Mexico, like Cancun. There are some very beautiful locations, maybe in the United States. I don't know. We can choose. Yeah. So, Alek, what is your life's biggest lesson from this journey as an instrument maker?
Probably, you never have to compare yourself to anybody, you know, just do not look down to anybody or look up at anybody. Just try to see things how they are and try to be yourself and that's it. I think it's very important.
Thank you very much for sharing this, Oleg. So the last question would be, where can people find you?
It's very easy. You can find my page, business page on Facebook.
Okay.
Oleg Vanishuk Violins.
Yep.
I'm sharing there some contents and you can contact me there anytime.
Good. Okay, brilliant. So I'm going to post... I'm going to put a link to your professional page on Facebook in the description of this episode.
Okay, thank you.
Brilliant. Okay, Alek, well, thank you very much for being with us on Luthiers and Legacy podcast today. I wish you a massive success and I hope that our listeners and viewers enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Ciao.